Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias third quarter 2017 financial results conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Theodoros Kalaντώνης, Deputy Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Kalaντώνης, you may now proceed.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank third quarter 2017 results presentation. Together with me, Harris Kokologiannis, Chief Financial Officer, will present our results and will answer your questions during the Q&A session. Allow me to start with the macroeconomic indicators, which have improved in the past few months. We expect GDP growth of around 1.5% for the full year 2017, given a strong tourism season and improving employment statistics, with the jobless rate at six-year low. Meanwhile, the Fed program review has started and appears to be on track. It is important to note that the Greek state tapped the market in July, and the sovereign yields have improved since. Given this supportive background, Greek banks had stronger deposit gathering last quarter and improved their funding in the markets through cover bond issues and repo transactions, which in turn translates into lower dependence on euro system and an overall improved funding position. The highlights of our financial results are shown on slide three of the presentation. The net profit for the third quarter 2017 reached 61 million, excluding the fair value adjustment for Romania. This brings the first nine months of the year to 132 million profits. Core pre-provision income was higher by 2.4% from previous quarter and by 7.9% than the nine months of the previous year. Net interest income was up 1.3% Q-on-Q and stable year-on-year. Fee and commission income was marginally higher than the previous quarter and 17.8% year-on-year due to lower Greek government guarantee costs. Operating expenses were down 2% year-on-year, with Greece down by 2.7%. Now, turning on asset quality. The NPE formation was negative for the fourth consecutive quarter at 111 million euro. Our stock of NPEs is down by 1 billion so far in 2017, and taking into account the consumer NPE sale in October, we will exceed our SSM target for the full year 2017. We have updated our medium-term NPE reduction plan, as we will explain later, and we feel confident that the 2018 targets will be met. On liquidity, deposits in Greece increased by 700 million last quarter, so they are up by 1 billion euro in the nine months of 2017. ELA funding was reduced by 5 billion from the peak level in 2017 and is now at 7.5 billion, while no Pillar 2 bonds are outstanding as of late October. This is a result of the deposit gathering mentioned above and, among other things, tapping the debt capital markets with a 500 million cover bond for the first time since 2014. Now, a few points on capital. The Romania disposal, including the deconsolidation of RWAs, is expected to enhance our capital ratios by circa 20 basis points, so the fully loaded Common Equity Tier 1 ratio will be 14.6% or 80 basis points higher year-on-year. The total capital adequacy ratio will be 17.2%. Finally, our international operations remain consistently profitable, with net profits of 32 million and 97 million in the last quarter and the first nine months of 2017, respectively. Concluding, we continue to execute our plan to be profitable and capital accretive, while we will be exceeding our NPE reduction targets in 2017. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Theodore. Let me clarify at the beginning that all previous periods results are restated for the reclassification of Romanian subsidiaries as held for sale to make figures comparable. Moving on slide 6 and on funding and liquidity. As shown on the top left of the page, the latest reading of ELA funding stands at 7.5 billion euro, lower by 3.7 billion as compared to June 2017. The improvement mainly relates with deposits inflows, increased repos with the market using ELA eligible assets, and Greek loans deleveraging. Furthermore, at the end of October, the bank proceeded to a market issue of a 500 million euro, 3-year covered bond with yield less than 3% that decreased further ELA. As a result, Pillar 2 guarantees were eliminated as of late October. Moving on page 10 and on loans and deposits evolution. In the third quarter of the year, gross loans, excluding write-offs and effect, were flat, as the deleveraging by 140 million euro in Greece was offset by equivalent growth in international operations. Group deposits increased by 950 million euro. Greek deposits had a positive reading of 670 million, and the rest is coming from Cyprus and Bulgaria. As a result, group loans to deposits ratio improved further this quarter to 112%. On page 12 and on deposits cost, client rates for new time deposits currently range between 65 to 70 basis points, while a further decrease should be expected before the end of the year. Moving on page 13, net interest income for the group increased quarter on quarter by 1.3% to 369 million euro, driven by lower Eurosystem costs, while all other drivers had marginal change. On page 15, net commission income was almost flat as increase in network and capital market fees was offset by lower lending and assets under management commissions. Year on year, group fees and commissions are higher by 17.8%, mainly as a result of the decrease of Pillar 2 costs. Moving on page 16 and on operating expenses. As shown on the upper right of the page, on a yearly basis, costs decreased by 2% for the group and by 2.7% in Greece, while cost-to-income ratio stood at 48% as presented at the bottom left of the page. Going back on page 4 and on pre-provision income. On the top left of the page, our core PPI increased quarter on quarter by 2.4% to 213 million euro, driven by higher net interest income as explained before. Year on year, core PPI increased by 7.9%, driven by the improvement in funding cost and lower operating expenses. Pre-provision income amounted to 240 million euro this quarter, marginally lower than the previous one due to other income. Moving on page 8 and on international operations. Core PPI in the third quarter increased to 62 million euro, while net profit from recurring operations amounted to 32 million. For the 9 months of the year, net profit from international operations amounted to 97 million euro, increased by 4% year on year. Moving now on page 7 and to the capital position. As shown on the left part of the page, the CET1 ratio as at September end, pro forma with the disposal of Romania and the redemption of preference shares, amounted to 15.1%. The respective fully loaded ratio amounted to 14.6%, increased by 80 basis points as compared to the year-end reading. The increase mainly relates to the organic performance, the improvement of Greek sovereign yields, and the disposal of participations to Grivalia and to Romanian subsidiaries. Finally, on the far right of the page, it is shown that pro forma with the issuance of Tier 2 bonds, expected to conclude before year-end, the total capital ratio of the group amounts to 17.2%. Moving now on asset quality, NPE's ratio decreased by 40 basis points to 44.7%, while NPE's coverage increased by 50 basis points to 51.6%, mainly due to negative formation. On page 18, it is provided for the first time the SSM perimeter and the respective NPE targets for the years 2017 to 2019, as well as the updated targets for 2018 and 2019 as submitted in last September. For the nine-month period of 2017, the bank has decreased the NPE stock by 1.1 billion euro, outperforming the respective target, and we expect another 1 billion by the end of the year, which includes the completed sale of consumer portfolio. Furthermore, on the right-hand side, the contribution of the different drivers to the movement of NPE stock is depicted on a quarterly basis. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question comes from Mr. Dietrich Powell from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I have just a few very simple questions. So the first one is on NP formation. It seems that it turned negative, but you also have some maybe more muted and trends when it comes to retail portfolios, both on mortgages and consumer finance. Can you give us a sense what's happening there? And perhaps a more broader follow-up to that. There were a number of measures introduced as a part of second review that's supposed to change or facilitate better recoveries of assets and so on. Where are you when it comes to implementation? When do you think we'll be able to see them playing out in practice? You know, are we? And I know this is not now, but would it be any time at the start of next year? Will it be soon enough to perhaps feature in the way the AQR will be conducted? And then just on your new NPE targets, it seems that they're a little bit more, let's say, aggressive than they were before. But it also looks that the pace of progression is similar. In other words, you did better than a plan, and you're not getting a credit for it going forward. You still have to deliver same or similar reduction in the future. Is that your impression as well? And perhaps if you can clarify if you change in any way your assumptions as to the methods you will use to reach the targets. And the last question, if I may, it's obviously very good to see you issuing covered bonds in the market. Do you believe you would be in a position anytime soon to perhaps follow up with senior debt? Thank you.
Okay, let me
just answer from the easiest part, that it is the question regarding liquidity, and then I pass the floor to Theodore for the questions related with asset quality. As you very correctly said, we tapped the market for first time since 2015, issuing to the market a 500 million three-year cover bond with a comparatively good yield below 3%. So this is a first movement to the market. Regarding senior issuance, of course, it's something that will be examined in 2018.
Okay. Since you covered a lot of different issues, I think it's better for all of you to make a very brief introduction on where we stand with regard to the NPE reduction targets going forward. First of all, as far as the third quarter is concerned, as you can see from page 18, we had a 300 million reduction on the NPE stock, and due to that, we will manage to outperform even the revised target of the SSM. To be more specific, the revised target is 19.6 billion euro total NPE stock, and we will close at 19.4 billion. Now, as far as the fourth quarter of the year is concerned, the NPE formation is expected again to be negative for the fifth quarter in a row, and actually it's going to be better than the third quarter. Regarding the 19 days past due formation, after three quarters of positive formation, the NPL formation is steadily declining, and in the fourth quarter we expect zero or negative formation. All in all, the revised SSM target for 2017, which is 400 billion lower than the initial target, will be met, and most probably we will outperform this target. Now, in terms of looking forward, I would say, and trying to cover your question about the various asset classes, it is the most challenging asset class is the mortgage portfolio, not just for Eurobank, but for all Greek banks. And one reason for that, and generally speaking, the household lending portfolio, and one reason for that is the fact that practically we didn't have any auctions during 2017. Looking forward, the e-auctions are planned to start on the 29th of November, and we believe that this will have a positive effect on two fronts. First of all, it will help us to increase the liquidations from auctions, and this will help us quite a lot in terms of achieving the targets for next year. And second, it will, I think it will be very positive in terms of passing a message to the market, especially to the strategic defaulters. And because of that, we expect a very positive impact both on the cash collection activity of the next year as well as on the redefault rates. Now, speaking about 2018, the 2018 target of 2.8 billion reduction versus 2.1 billion, which would be the actual number for 2017, is 30% higher. Definitely, this is a more challenging target, but we strongly believe that this is very feasible to achieve. We are very committed and confident, and compared to 2017, we have, say, some more weapons in our legal arsenal, and apart from the auctions that I just covered, we also have the newly OCW law, plus potentially some amendments to the Katseli law, the individual bankruptcy law, which are under discussions as we speak. Obviously, the beginning of the auctions is the most critical of all. Regarding the mix, I think that was your final question, regarding the mix for 2018, this is going to be in line with the one in 2017, with the exception of collateral liquidations, which are expected, I said it already, we'll say it one more, to have a much more significant contribution compared with 2017. Furthermore, we are going to have at least one portfolio sale transaction similar or higher to the one we had in 2017.
That's very clear. Thank you. Do you assume that in 2018 you would be in a position to perhaps sell a secured portfolio, or are we talking still about unsecured loans?
No. The plan is to sell a similar portfolio to that of 2017, so mostly it will be consumer, distressed consumer and secured portfolio, and it may also have a small part of unsecured small business portfolio.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mrs. Barek Tarekilki from Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. Three questions on my side, please. First of all, is the NPE reduction plan going to be taken at all into account in the stress test, given that the stress test, at least according to the EBA methodology that is out, is expected to be on a static balance sheet? The second question is, you show you have negative NPE formation, but could you please tell us what is the percentage of your gross inflows to NPEs and whether this is coming down? And also, if you can give us a bit of color of what does this mean with regards to the recent ECB addendum on calendar provisioning on NPEs and the impact this may have to your capital? As when we look at the default rate in Greece, this is pretty high still compared to the other European countries. And last question, could you please give us the guidance on the impact of IFRS 9, given now we are quite close to the implementation? Thank you.
Your first question about stress tests, there are two dimensions on regarding the NP reduction plan and the impact on the stress test. There are two dimensions on your answer. Based on the 2016 stress test experience and EBA communication, the 2018 exercise is not a pass or fail exercise, but the stress test results are an input to the threat. So one more and very significant input to the threat is the achievement or not of the NPE reduction plan. Of course, the achievement of the plan plays a very significant role in order to get a satisfactory grade on the SREP assessment. Second, regarding now the direct link of NPE reduction plan with the stress test methodology, you very correctly said that the stress test will be based on the static balance sheet. However, we understand that there are some discussions so as to the NPE reduction plan to be accommodated somehow to the outlook of the stress test. However, we have not yet any definitive picture on that, and to expect the final methodology that is expected to be communicated to us somewhere in January. Now, the second question, third question is about the IFRS 9. Let me provide you an update on that. We have made substantial progress so far regarding the preparation of accounting policies that are almost completed. The development of macroeconomic assumptions for the various scenarios, the critical parameters to be used, the criteria for the staging and the validation of the models. We have performed a parallel run to gain a better understanding of the potential effect, and we'll update the market as soon as we are ready with the relevant figures. However, I want to add here that following the recent decision of competent European institutions, it is evident that IFRS 9 gives an opportunity to increase immediately the provision coverage by some percentage points, whereas the impact on capital will be phased in 5 years as follows. 5% in the first year, 15% cumulative in the second, 30% in the third year, 50% in the fourth, 75% in the fifth, and the full impact is not expected to be before the 1st of January 2023. Now, regarding your second question about the gross NPE flows, these are close to 10% lower than the respective figure in the previous quarter, and have over the last quarters a clear declining trend. Now, I understand your point regarding the provisioning calendar. This is, let's say, the code name of this case published as a consultation paper in the addendum of ECB. The new policies about prudential backstops, and it is our understanding that it applies only to new NPEs. However, it is still unclear when and how the new policy will be effective, as the issue is still subject to public consultation. It is not, let's say, many days ago that the European Commission circulated a consultation paper that make reference not to new NPEs only, but to newly originated loans as of the date of implementation. So the landscape is not yet clear on that, and we should expect for some time in order to get more clarity, let's say.
Okay, thank you. If I may just clarify one thing. On IFRS 9, my understanding is you don't want to provide, you are not yet ready to provide some guidance, but you did say that this is an opportunity to increase provision coverage by some percentage points. And I just want to preempt that, you know, somebody might interpret this. Are you saying that the IFRS 9, you are planning to increase provisions by a couple of percentage points, or you don't want to give any guidance at the moment, so we shouldn't draw anything from your comment?
As I have said, we have made substantial progress so far on amalgamating the various variables on IFRS 9 calculation, and we'll update the market as soon as we are ready with the relevant figures.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Floriani Jonas from Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, all. Thanks for the presentation. My first question is regarding the auctions and how you see that happening. Can you quantify what is your pool of, I mean, how big is your pool of properties you're willing to send that through the e-auctions? I suspect that at the first stage, these properties will be the ones value above 300,000 euros. And also how that pool of properties compare to the other pool of properties below that value and the ones that are, you know, let's say, protected by the law. And my second question is regarding your slide 18 and your plans for Q4. So you mentioned that for Q4, we are probably aiming for another 1 billion reduction in NPEs, which will include the 0.6 billion from the transaction. So what about the other 400? How do you plan those columns on slide 18 to look now for the next quarter? Thank you.
Okay. Starting from the second question, out of the 1 billion planned reduction planned for Q4, 600 million will come, as you said, from the consumer loan transaction. And the rest, which is 400, will come through a combination of NPE formation, which will be, as I said before, better, I mean, more negative compared with the third quarter, and the rest will come through other accounting write-offs. And a couple of and a few, say, a few less activity from small activity from collateral liquidations. Now, regarding the e-auctions, right now, we have around already, we have earmarked 2,500 properties to be auctioned within from now up to the end of next year. And all in all, the total banking system in Greece have a pipeline of 10,000 properties to be auctioned. Now, in terms of the profile of these properties, First of all, there is no floor in terms of the value, apart of course from those which refer to the first residence, and they are protected under the Kacheli law. And having said that, we are going to start from the higher value properties in an effort to deal primarily with the strategic defaulters. We believe that all stakeholders are very committed to the auctions as a way to deal with strategic defaulters, and that's why we're quite confident that from December onwards we will have a new reality in the country, and this will help us a lot in terms of achieving next year's targets.
The next question comes from Semikhtatova Maria from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the presentation. I have two small questions. First, can you confirm if the thematic review has been completed and whether there were any adjustments to your provisioning? And second, if you're in a position to share potential impact of TRIM?
Sure. I'll ask from the. I'll start from the second. Your second point. The TRIM outcome has not yet been determined. However, proactively we have started booking additional RWAs in the second and the third quarter. We expect that the residual effect should not be material. And regarding the TAR. The review has just started for Eurobank and will last until mid-March 2018. It will include the review of collective provisioning policies, EBA classification and provisioning adequacy. 280 files will be reviewed, 50% in of corporate portfolio and another 50% of the retail portfolio. For sure, what we should note and underline is that the findings of the exercise will not be extrapolated to the total portfolio. This is, let's say, in a nutshell, the information that we have up to now.
I see. Thank you. And when the results will be available?
The results of TAR we expect to be available, I would say, mid-March.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Barakhtari Agelki from Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Just a follow-up question on the TAR and the stress test. You said that the results of the troubled asset review are going to be released in mid-March. How does this interplay with the stress test results? Because the latest we have heard is that the stress test results will be presented in May.
First of all, the TAR is not going to be published, and it's one of the thematic reviews of SSM. There may be some interplay regarding the findings of TAR with stress test. However, I repeat what I said at the beginning, that all this is not something more than distinctive inputs to the SREP assessment of its bank.
Okay, but you still expect the stress test results, which are going to be made public, to be released by the end of May.
I do not know if it is the end of May or the mid of May, but for sure will be within May. It may be earlier than the end of May.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Floriani Jonas from Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, just two follow-ups. First of all, if you start thinking about your PPI dynamics going forward, what are your general thoughts in terms of NII dynamics, you know, given volumes are not there, the leveraging, you have some challenging environment on the rate side as well. The benefits that you've been having, which is basically cost of deposits and ELA, it's already reaching kind of a plateau or close to zero in the case of ELA in the next couple of quarters. So just interesting to understand, you know, what is your view on this moving parts? And then the second question is again on the TAR. You know, we've been hearing that the banks, you guys talk a lot about this 250 to 300 files that people are looking at. You know, but what are the size of these files? Because, you know, if it's like 285 files of that in total are just like a couple of million, I mean, you know, the impact will be very small. But if the 285 files include, you know, 50% of corporate, with the big ones, then it could be quite significant. So if you could give us some guidance on that, I think it'll be helpful. Thanks.
Sure. Let me provide you with, let's say, an outlook of our pre-provision income going forward. First of all, as you correctly said, on NII, there are a number of opposite drivers and forces. On the one hand, we have some deleveraging and some pressure on lending spreads coming from the restructured loans, but also from the healthy competition on the corporate. On the other side, there is still good room for a decrease of funding costs. First of all, we have eliminated Pillar 2, but we have still 7.5 billion euro of ELA that may decrease or eliminate it through further deposit gathering, through market repos, using either covered bonds or securitized assets or treasury bills as collateral, through getting access to subsidiaries' liquidity or homogeneous pools. Overall, we expect going forward NII to remain flat, despite the extra 60 million euro that it is the cost of Tier 2 bonds that is going to burden us as of next year. Regarding fees and commissions, are expected to increase next year by something like a single-digit growth rate. And in terms of operating expenses, we closed recently 40 branches in Greece, in the third quarter, and the impact has not been reflected yet in our numbers. We plan to close another 60 branches in the first quarter 2018, and we'll reach 340 branches in Greece, which we think is the optimal network so far. This, together with other cost initiatives dealing with optimization of head office operations, will ensure that the 2018 decrease will be similar to 2017. So I provided you with an outlook of the three components of core pre-provision income. Now, regarding TRAPLAS, I pass to Theodore.
Regarding the TAR process and the file selection, in total there will be 280 files, 50% corporate, 50% retail, covering various asset classes. And from what we know, there will be all types of loans from small, medium, and large, and there will be no any specific concentration in any dimension. The findings, what is very important too, is that the findings of this exercise will not be extrapolated to the total portfolio.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Diedrich Paul from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Maybe just one follow-up from my side. You mentioned that based on your current discussions, the stress test will be not a pass or fail exercise. Can you maybe comment a little bit on that, if I have understood it correctly? Clearly, the recapitalization or a test that was done in 2015 was. Maybe if you can explain, where or why are you confident that perhaps it will only feature in the SREP going forward? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for your question. There is a number of reasons for which we move as Eurobank into the stress test with confidence. First of all, Eurobank is organically profitable in all quarters since the end of 2015. It has increased CET1 by 150 basis points since end 2015, of which 80 basis points in the first half of 2017. It has resolved the issue of preference shares, maintaining fully loaded Basel III total capital at levels higher than 17%. The restructuring plan has been executed in a capital-accretive way. Then, we are meeting the 2017 SSM targets, and we are confident about 2018 targets. During the last 2 years, the macro backdrop has been significantly better than the macro assumptions of 2015 stress test. And of course, last but not least, the NPL legal framework has been revised and is one of the most advanced in continental Europe. So all these make us feel confident about the outcome of this exercise.
Thank you. I think this makes a lot of sense where you're coming from. I guess what I wanted to clarify is what gives you confidence that there will be no pass or fail mark, that there will not be a threshold under which you will be assessed. And also, I think we can be fairly confident that the baseline scenario should give pretty encouraging results for yourselves, but also for the sector as a whole. The environment is, as you mentioned, different. But have there been any, discussions or indications between you and your supervisors, regulators, as to how the adverse case scenario might look like?
Regarding your first follow-up question, it is the SSM methodology applied in 2016 stress test. And also it is included clearly in the EBA communication as far as the methodology is concerned that the 2018 exercise is not going to be a pass or fail one. Regarding the adverse parameter scenario, the answer is no, we are not still aware. The terms of the adverse scenario have not been specified yet, and to expect some feedback towards the end of the year, or I would say more probably in January.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Mr. Galadonis. There are no more questions registered at this time. You may now proceed with your closing statements.
Thank you very much for your participation. We are looking forward to seeing you in our next roadshows or in Athens. Thank you.